the sound worked out this time, huh?
Yes, it seems like everything is happening, at least so far. Although I hope they don't crash. All right, let me just see. We've got live on YouTube.
Yeah. Can you see the joshbernsteinuncensored.com clearly?
Yes.
Nothing's cut off on it?
Let me just check again. Yeah, looks good. I see both your logo and your background. And I put it up also, and I'll put it up on the YouTube video. So here we are. Josh Bernstein is with us. Josh Bernstein Uncensored. Josh, there's been quite an article in Newsweek mentioning my show. Far right activist says Biden can still be removed from office in constitutional crisis. Yeah, I don't have any problem with them referring to either you or I as far right wing. I mean, that's fine, right? I mean, if we were on the left, would they say far left wing? I don't know.
Right, exactly. Well, look, you know, they like to call me an extremist and all that, but obviously I'm not an extremist. I mean, I guess if you want to say, do I care about liberty and freedom and prosperity and am willing to do whatever I can to preserve it, and that makes me an extremist? Okay, fine. Guilty as charged. No problem. But look, Newsweek, and I spell that W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K, is left-wing trash. I mean, let's face it, you know, they have the reputation of something that you would use to line a birdcage with. Mm-hmm. And I hope they get a chance to hear this, to be quite honest. But look, hey, anytime, you know, they attack me, it's because I'm over the target. They know that. They know what we are doing in Arizona. They know that we're not going to take no for an answer. They know that they're not in their right legal framework to even be able to contest the forensic audits as they are, you know, going forward. As a matter of fact, we basically got the letter from Perkins Coie, you know, the law firm that protected Hillary Clinton from all of her emails. Yeah, those folks. And we basically just shredded it. You know, they've got no legal standing whatsoever. This Democracy Now! Pledge group, whatever it is, this false named league group. It's a joke. It's a joke. And guess what? People like me are the reason we're going to get that audit done. Okay. Newsweek and anyone else out there, including Perkins Coie and the rest of the morons out there, just know that there are people like me that will do anything to make sure that we have free and fair elections. Put it in the bank and smoke it.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I mean, it's like Barry Goldwater said, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
Exactly.
And speaking of Barry Goldwater, you're in Arizona. You're in the epicenter of the Maricopa County recount. They've basically, you've got 2.1 million ballots that will be forensically hand recounted. And, you know, I mean, how I feel hopeful over that, but yet at the same time, given the forces that you're up against, I mean, they're already doing whatever they need to do to stop your efforts. The usual surface stuff we can expect, they're calling you all insurrectionists and, conspiracy theorists. Well, first of all, you're trying to find out whether there was a conspiracy. It's not, you know, then we'll find out if it's a theory or if it was a fact. So but yet they don't want it to go forward. What's going on the street right now? I mean, last time we spoke, you had Earl finding the bag of shredded ballots. I mean, where are you at this point?
Well, first and foremost, let's talk about insurrections. What just happened at the Iowa Capitol by BLM activists? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's considered an insurrection. But of course, the FBI and the Department of Justice, or injustice, as I like to call it, of course, they won't do anything about it. They'll just dismiss that. That's number one. Number two, as far as the audits are going right now, remember, we have a judge's decision that has given the legal right to proceed.
Yeah.
We have the Arizona Senate, with a little help from our friends on the outside, activists like me, pushing them to make sure it happened, basically passing rules and new laws, basically telling the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors where they can shove it. And basically, we are in our right to do this audit. And this new latest, you know, feeble attempt at trying to stop it, I have no doubt is coming from Washington, okay? Because right. They understand that once Arizona is exposed, then all these other states are going to do exactly what I said.
The domino theory. It's going to hit.
Right. The domino effect. And God bless the Patriots in New Hampshire. sticking up for the rule of law and integrity for voting rights in that state as well. So they're doing a fantastic job. And our hope is that people will continue in each state to do the same thing. It only takes the courage of a few to create the majority of many. And we need to understand that. And we will not stop. We will not quit. We will not comply. We will get these audits done come hell or high water.
And there's some good developments around the country. I mean, the big one, of course, is Georgia, where the state legislature has reasserted its appropriate sovereign constitutional right to regulate elections and ensure that there's no more suppression, because suppression happens when a vote is canceled by a fake vote. That's suppression. And the result has been this ferocious reaction from the leftist establishment and the big corporations like Coca-Cola and Delta, and now the National Baseball League canceling the All-Star Game and moving it to Denver. Also in Michigan, you have a state judge, finally, it's a little late, but ruling that the state attorney general, Jocelyn Benson, can't go in and get rid of signature confirmation of absentee ballots. But it's too late for that. And as of yesterday in Pennsylvania, a state judge has stepped up and said that 21,000 names on the voter rolls who are people who have passed away can be removed. You know, I wonder, I mean, talk about an audit. I wonder if in Pennsylvania they have the audit of how many of those names were accompanied by a vote. I mean, we're talking 21,000 people in that state. You know, Trump, I think, lost the state by less than that.
So, well, I believe he won the state, obviously, by over 800,000 votes. Sure. I believe he won 428 to about 110 would have been the final count of the Electoral College. But here's what we have to understand, that what we are dealing with right now is the fact that people want to know the truth. They want to know that their votes are going to count. And I agree with President Trump. Georgia did not go far enough, not even close to going far enough, to be quite honest.
Right.
And so I just find it comical. And the fact that these folks like Raffensperger and, you know, and what's her name? The other one that did the deal with him, Stacey Abrams, and many other folks, including, of course, these woketocracies, these corporate American ass clowns out there and CEOs that think that, you know, they should inject themselves into politics and, you know, do edicts and things like that against the people that work for them and everything else. I'll tell you right now, once Republicans do get back in control, corporate America needs to be dealt with. They need to be fined when they get involved with politics. Stay in your lane, keep your mouth shut, and stop trying to make policy. It's bad enough we've got to fight the Democrats in Washington. The last thing we need is now the corporate America CEOs that were educated or re-educated, I should say, indoctrinated in these Marxist leftist ideology institutions masquerading as public or private education, including the Ivy League idiots. So my thought process here is that we have to understand that how can they have the audacity to be upset with Georgia basically fixing the election integrity laws to make them fair and free once again after what happened in Georgia, but yet they have no problem, hands over their eyes to the Uyghur Muslims that are literally being raped, pillaged, and murdered in concentration camps in China. But yet they have no problem with that. They're not going to boycott the 2022 Olympics. No, they're just going to call that a cultural difference, right? Dementia Joe and Heels Up Headboard Harris. It's absolutely sickening to see that they're totally fine with that. But yet election integrity laws in this country are a problem somehow. Amazing.
Oh, you know, look, first of all, I think that these big corporations, they do have the right to say whatever the heck they want to say, but they should pay a price for that.
They should pay a price for it.
We have like Major League Baseball.
Financially.
Yes. I mean, you'd think that baseball would be a neutral thing. It's the American pastime where we all get together. We put aside our politics for the day to enjoy a game. You know, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Now they've decided to weigh in like this. I mean, I would hope there'd be a price to pay that they have to pay for that.
There's no question about it. And again, this isn't just for the left. This is for the right, too.
Sure.
These corporations need to stay out of politics. They need to stop making press releases. They need to stop commenting on what's going on with lawmakers. And they need to stick to their lanes and service their people and do business as business should be done. And they need to keep their mouths shut, or we're going to shut it for them with huge million-dollar fines. Because when we do get back in control, I'll be one of the people pushing behind the scenes state legislatures, as well as, you know, regular U.S. congressmen and senators to start pushing legislation. You know, Mitch McConnell, you know, call him what you want. I call him a rhino. He's great at putting judges on the books, that's for sure, but not right. much good for anything else. But even he has realized and has said something against Major League Baseball, saying, hey, stay in your lane, step out of it.
I take issue. I don't think it should be illegal for them to do it, but I think that there should be a financial price to pay. There should be a cultural price to pay.
There should be penalties financially.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think that
I do.
Okay.
Because I think both parties should, both companies should stay out of politics.
They should, okay? But I don't know if they'd be mandated to. But the problem is that they have done this, and it's a disgrace that they've weighed in on this thing. And we do have a movement nationally that is starting to move in all states, in which state legislators are taking back their sovereign constitutional responsibility to regulate elections. It's too late now for 2020, unfortunately. But they are moving in that direction. The midterm election is only months away. I think that if Republicans don't take back the House and increase in the Senate, then you and I personally are going to be in big trouble. In terms of the crackdown that's going on right now. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, look, we're going to continue to push state legislatures around the country to enact election integrity laws. That's for sure. We will never stop doing that. We will make sure that we get everything in place before 2022 so that we can have an opportunity to free and fair election. And we'll let the people decide. We won't let ballots showing up in vans in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. decide. Yeah. We'll let the people decide. And look, personally, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I have no problem with it. I don't care who writes up on it. I want to see less mail-in voting. As a matter of fact, I would like to see a constitutional amendment against it. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that you have a right to vote by mail. You have a right to vote, of course, and there is a voting day, of course, and we should have absentee ballots for people that don't live in America that are either expatriates or in the military, or possibly for those 65 years of age or older that are, quote unquote, really indefinitely confined, not like the garbage we witnessed in Wisconsin, which, of course, they were not. But, you know, I want to see it harder to cheat is what I really want to see. Now, people will say, well, you want to make it harder for people to vote. I want to make it harder for people to vote that are voting illegally. Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to make it
and
hard
I have no problem
to
saying.
Fake vote. I mean, we're trying to make it easier for legitimate citizens who are registered to vote to vote.
Right.
Now, just a question. I wonder about this. How is it that with the absentee ballots and with these huge papering of the House, which also happened in my own state of Massachusetts, where they just sent out hundreds of thousands of ballots to people who had not asked for them, something in which, by the way, they did not get the state legislator to approve of. Probably in Massachusetts they would have if they asked, but putting that aside.
Right.
Who actually counts those votes? I mean, how is that done? How do we know that it's not some activist sitting there going, let's see, we'll put one here and we'll put one there, you know?
Right.
Who does that?
Well, obviously, we know that all the ballots that were shredded and found in the election process throughout, you know, November and even afterwards, and even leading up to the election, you know, they found them in dumpsters. They found them in, you know, abandoned lots. I mean, they were always Trump votes. They were never Biden votes. We know that. That's a fact.
Right.
Okay. We know that, you know, there was ballots that were dropped off illegally throughout different states, from New York to Pennsylvania, from Pennsylvania back to New York, from New York to Ohio, all of these different crazy things that took place. This has all been documented, all of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, the cheating happened in a lot of different ways. Obviously, one way was, of course, through adjudication, which is basically saying that a ballot, for whatever reason, needs to be re-looked upon by a person rather than the machine. And those ballots were put aside separately. They were then adjudicated. And the person that was adjudicating those ballots obviously was crooked. Many of them were. But remember, Time Magazine, left-leaning Time Magazine, has basically admitted the fact that there was a conspiracy to steal this election. That's not coming from me. No, that's right. Coming from Time Magazine's own article,
yes,
in which they literally say the behind the scenes of the conspiracy to stop Trump. So this isn't, you know, tinfoil hat stuff.
No,
this is all documented stuff.
That's a hugely well-known article. And yeah, they basically let most of the cat out of the bag. You know, you make reference to putting aside ballots for adjudication. I think it happened in Arizona, but I know
it happened a lot of places.
And also Pittsburgh, where you had thousands of people show up to vote and they were told, sorry, you've already voted. And they're right. Like, no, I didn't. And they're, oh yeah, we have it down here. What happened is that somebody already voted for them and they could only fill out a provisional ballot, which would get counted later by these so-called adjudicators.
Right, and they weren't counted.
And they brought lawsuits, which judges said, sorry, you have to wait till next time.
Right.
Seems like the whole judiciary around the country was so corrupt. They would not even allow any of these affidavit evidence lawsuits to enter into the actual courtroom where the evidence could be adjudicated and where people could get a chance to question it back and forth and find out how real it was. We never got that far. They were all dismissed from technicalities, including the Supreme Court.
Well, you have to understand something, that this could not have been pulled off by just the Democrats. They needed the Republicans' help. This was a concerted effort to remove President Trump. And again, it was from the executive. It was from people around him that he thought were close to him. Of course, Mike Pence, you know, at the very end, betraying America and him as well. From the judges to the courts to the John Roberts, the godfather of the deep state, as I've called him on many occasions, nothing gets done, remember, without John Roberts' approval. Why do I say that? Because he's the one that puts all those FISA judges in those positions. They're all appointed by him, and there's no confirmation hearing. It's all what he wants. So he is one of the key people here because he kept the Supreme Court from taking these cases. He obviously had a lot of pressure on the lower courts to do the same thing. In other words, they wanted to just do a complete blackout. So you got to ask yourself this question. Was this an isolated incident just against this one man? Or is this something that they plan on doing moving forward collectively all the time? Now, I can't answer that question 100% yet, but I will say this. The day President Trump was signed in, you know, did his inauguration and you put his hand on the Bible and was sworn into office. After he did his speech, one of the things that he said in that speech on inauguration day was, today is the day that I take the power away from Washington and I return it back to you, the people. When he said that, with all those criminals and cesspools of people behind him, that's when they said, wait a minute. This guy is not going to play along. He's not going to be one of us. And therefore, we've got to make sure and get rid of him in 4 years. Doesn't matter what his record is. Doesn't matter what the American people think. Doesn't matter that 85 to 90 million people voted for President Trump and 50 to 60 million tops voted for Dementia Joe. Doesn't matter. We are in control. We're going to use the entire establishment to our advantage, from the deep state to the medical deep state with Fauci and shutdowns and, you know, all the other things that went down, from the judges and the courts and the lower courts and the Supreme Court. And of course, the anti-Trump Republicans working with the Democrats. And let's not forget the CCP was hugely involved in a lot of this. So this was a huge conspiracy all around to get rid of this one man. And I mean, that's what we have to understand.
Yeah, I mean, his inaugural speech was one of the best in history. It's right up there with Kennedy's speech against secret societies. You know, these were moments when you had a leader who actually stood up, and there were consequences for those. You know, I think that as the election approached, you saw state legislators were not aware of their power in many cases. And those powers were usurped by secretaries of states, by governors, by judges. Mm-hmm. The media, the first, you know, rung on the stool was completely in the bag. they would just, you know, any, they reported on this. Absolutely. It's not like they were told to do this. They didn't need to be told. They just knew it. It's almost,
it's
like,
criminal. You know, it's criminal what they did. It's and their, like, their lack of integrity.
It's like my communist great uncle once said to my father when he asked him, how is it that you guys, what do you take orders from the Kremlin? I mean, and he said, no, we don't have to. We all think the same way. And that's how the media operated. They all were on the same page and they did what they had to do. Step one, step two, the judiciary, completely corrupt. And then finally, we reached the final place where we could finally hear the evidence, that being the joint session of Congress, headed up by Mike Pence, who's acting as president of that Congress. And they were about to roll out the evidence. Seven states had contested the election. You had state reps, I mean, federal representatives and senators signing a document saying that they were to be contested, in which case each state got a full 2 hours, up to 2 hours, to make their presentation. You had the first state in the middle of their presentation, ironically, Arizona. I was watching it on television. It was incredible. It was dramatic. The whole country was watching. And all of a sudden, the guy with the fuzzy hat shows up and everything is over. And then they reconvene late that night and they gavel Biden through. So there was never a hearing. We'll never know. So when they say, oh, well, this is a conspiracy theory. That
January 6th, never forget.
You're never going to find out.
Was an inside job. Okay. And when I say inside job, let me clarify that. What I mean by that is that this was Antifa and this was BLM that set this in motion. Yeah. They even talked about it on social media. They talked about it on Twitter. There's flyers. There's all kinds of things that are out there as proof of this. All they did was use useful idiots, I guess you could say, that decided to storm the Capitol, which wasn't the smartest thing to do, obviously. But even look at this disparity on how they're treating the people that went in that were on the left and that went in that were on the right. The people on the right are still being held. They're still being, you know, the trumped up charges and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, the people on the left, scot-free, no problem there. You know, there's such a discrepancy in this two-tier justice system that it's sickening and it's nauseating.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What happened with that guy Sullivan, who was an Antifa, who basically breached the Capitol, and then he was there talking with the reporter from CNN. Oh, look, we've done it. We've done it.
Right.
And then he's on CNN. Is he still walking around or has he been detained?
As far as I know, he is. Yeah. But, you know, the fact that the Department of Justice and the FBI are basically trumping up these charges and, you know, they completely ignored an entire summer, not of summer of love, summer of hatred, okay, of burning down police stations, you know, throwing Molotov cocktails at police. How many times did they burn down the, you know, a federal building? My goodness, every single night in Oregon, right? Yeah, and so they completely ignored all that. That's just fine, right? That's just blowing off a little steam, right? But yet these people go in to do a peaceful redress of their government because they know the election was stolen. And therefore, they're the worst people in the world. They're satanic. They're bloodthirsty criminals. It's so sick. It's so one-sided. It's so disgusting.
And now they're threatening to do it again if Derek Chauvin is not convicted of first-degree murder.
Derek Chauvin will
be burning all over the country.
Yeah. All four of those officers should be given their jobs back, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, the fact is that Fentanyl Floyd, let's call him who he is, died of a fentanyl overdose. The guy had 11 nanograms of fentanyl in his system. Three can kill just about anybody. He had 11. And what's the newest thing? I ate too many drugs. You can clearly hear it, by the way. I don't know why this guy is saying, well, I didn't hear that. You can clearly hear it. Right. But he also had cannabinoids. He also had methamphetamine. He also had morphine, I believe, in his system. And he had a couple of other drugs in his system. As a matter of fact, the coroner for Hennepin County, Minnesota, clearly stated that if he wasn't arrested that day, he would have died that night or the next morning, based on the toxicology report of how much drugs he had in his system. Those are the facts.
No, that is
those are not Although, made up.
I might note that I still want to know why it is that that Chauvin pulled him out of the car after he'd been detained.
That's very simple. Because most of the people in America have never seen the full story. Basically, when they arrested him, he was resisting arrest. Okay, that was number one. He wouldn't show his hands to Officer Lane, number two. So finally, what happened is they asked the people in the car, hey, what's his deal with the cops? Oh, well, he's been shot before and he has a problem with the police. So then what happened? He starts talking about how he just lost his mom, how he just had COVID, and how he doesn't want to get shot by the officers. The officers repeatedly say, we're not going to kill you. We're not going to shoot you. We're not going to harm you. Then he starts saying that he doesn't want to go into the police car. And he says that he's claustrophobic and to please crack the windows. No problem. They put on the air. They're cracking the windows. He starts kicking at the doors, trying to get out. Oh. Then he's saying that he can't breathe. Now, what was this whole thing with the whole entire thing over the summer, right? With t-shirts and masks and everything else, I can't breathe. Well, the reality is he couldn't breathe because he was dying of heart failure, number one, from the drug overdose. Mm-hmm. But number two, because he was claustrophobic and he kept saying 10 times, by the way, I can't breathe. That's way before Derek put him on the ground. And oh, by the way, he requested to be put on the ground. He actually says in the tape, I want to be put on the ground. So they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They put him on the ground. Okay. These cops were not malicious. These cops were not hurtful. They were not being abusive. Anyone that saw the entire video, not just the ones that the activists on the side of the street happened to shoot, which obviously painted a very different picture for the American people and the rest of the world to see. But when you look at all of it, the entire context of what happened that day, you can clearly see that these officers did not do anything wrong.
Well, you know, I hope it all comes out of the trial, but either
way, I hope so too.
The Antifa and BLM are threatening to burn every American city down if they don't get what they want in the trial. That's an insurrection. And that's going to target Black people, not, you know, again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the racist liberal establishment is going to fan the flames.
Even the boycott of Georgia is hurting Black people.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean,
Black entrepreneurs and patriots in Georgia, they just lost all that money
out of a predominantly Black city, a very successful Black city, I may add, a middle class Black city.
Exactly.
Moving it to a predominantly white city, ironically, at the Coors Pavilion. Of course, Coors was a great conservative philanthropy.
Right.
But anyways, Josh, so what's coming up on your show?
Well, you know, look, there's something that I think we need to understand and discuss. This administration is desperately trying to get rid of the filibuster. Okay. And in reality, I don't understand why they say that Democrats control the Senate, because technically they do not. There are 50 Republicans.
Right.
There are 48 Democrats, and there are two socialists, independents, whatever you want to call them, that caucus with Democrats. Now, first off, there should be a rule against that, a Senate rule saying that the two quote unquote independents should not be allowed to caucus with either party, make up your own party, and that be the end of it. So in reality, Republicans actually control the Senate. But in this situation, they're trying to call it 50-50. So here's what I suggest. I suggest that Republicans reach out to Joe Manchin and possibly get him to switch parties. He's in a red Republican state of West Virginia. Most of his policies, not all, but most of his policies are pretty conservative. His party has long left him. He's been a lone voice of reason on the left side of the aisle. Mm-hmm. They should offer him political assignments, chairmanships, political committees. Hey, if Quid Pro Joe can do it on a grand scale with the country of Ukraine, I don't see why Republicans can't offer Joe Manchin to switch parties. Now, all of a sudden, you do that, you're down the 47 Democrats, 51 Republicans, and heels up headboard Harris can take her tiebreaker and shove it where the sun don't shine.
And also, they might get Kristen Sinema, too.
Perhaps.
You know, and this wouldn't be unprecedented. We might remember in the 90s, Jeffords from Vermont switched the Democrats. So it can happen, and it would definitely move the balance properly. Do you think
something needs to happen, because we cannot allow the filibuster? cannot allow that to change from 60 to 50.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
I sure hope not.
And I don't think the gun control thing is either, because I think already.
Oh no, this whole executive order thing is garbage. Yeah, I mean,
already declared.
I don't believe the administration is stupid enough to go door to door and try to confiscate weapons. Honestly, I don't think they're that dumb. Obviously, if they did that, that would be a major problem, because
not 350 million gun owners.
I mean, yeah, there are exact 100 million gun owners, pretty much. Yeah. And I'm pretty confident that they would be very willing and glad to give their bullets first before their guns. And so I don't think the administration is that stupid.
And that crosses party lines, too, because one of the biggest gun owning states in the country per capita is Vermont.
Right.
So, you know, that's not even an issue. Josh, do you think that the Republicans are going to prevail in this next election?
You know, it's hard to say, and I'll tell you the reason why. The reason is because what the left did was not just steal the election, but it was to steal the morale and the will and the fight, I believe, in millions of Americans. And it's a psychological stolen valor, if you will, because what they did is they said, well, not only are we going to steal the election, but then we're going to implement all these things against you, and then we're going to try to do it again. So then there's going to be many people out there that are going to say, I don't want to vote anymore because my vote didn't count. They stole the election. So what does it matter? And I'm very, very worried that there's going to be a lot of people that have that sentiment. We cannot allow that sentiment to continue. So I will be fighting against that sentiment, certainly on my show in the coming months, you know, ahead. But I do worry about that, because the left are very good at using psychological warfare against their opponents. And one way they can do that is, again, by being this brazen and stealing the election.
Yeah. Plus, and that combined with the censorship, even against former President Trump. I mean, can you imagine his daughter-in-law interviews him, Lara Trump, and Facebook would not allow that to go on because Trump appeared in it?
I mean, it's sick.
And it is demoralizing. I mean, I feel sometimes demoralized, and I'm out there fighting, and probably you do too. It's a very, very difficult time, you know, to champion freedom issues. And you feel very isolated, but you're not isolated. Don't forget it.
No, we are the majority. They're the minority, and they need to understand that the majority of people in America support the president, his America First policies, not this communist manifesto that they're trying to do, this Cloward and Piven, you know, let's hit them with everything all at once so that we can get one or two things to pass and we can overcome the system and bring in socialism. Not going to happen on my watch, that's for sure.
So, Josh, let my listeners and viewers know where they can watch your program and read your articles and whatnot.
Sure. Well, articles, who knows? Maybe Newsweek will do another hit piece on me. I don't know. We'll see what happens. The website is,
by the way,
joshbernsteinuncensored.com.
Thank you. joshbernsteinuncensored.com. Josh, we should interview the author of that article on Newsweek. Maybe bring him on.
Hey, I would love to. Look, I'm one of those people that will interview and talk to anyone, and I will put my ideas up against anyone. I will have a conversation with anyone. I have no problem with it. I'll treat you professionally. I'll treat you with dignity and respect. But understand, if you get into my cage and you're wrong, you're going to be intellectually eviscerated, okay, by me. Yeah. And I'll do it in a very nice way with a smile on my face. And that video will go viral so that everybody sees exactly what happened. And I will absolutely destroy anyone that comes in front of me. But I'll do it nicely. I'll do it professionally. And I'll do it politely. So that's an open invitation to the folks at Newsweek or anyone else.
Here we go. All right, Josh Bernstein. Listen, thanks so much. Pleasure as always. Thank you. Let's do it again soon.
You got it. My